Hi, David, this is Hilda.
Hi, David and Hilda.
Hi.
Hello, can you guys hear me now?
Yes.
Awesome. All right, let's have some fun. Are we sure we're going to have a quorum?
You're muted. I don't think she heard you. Ashley.
Sorry. Yes, I'm sure we will have a quorum today.
Perfect. That's always my initial concern. All right, I'm going to mute myself, but I'll be watching.
All right.
Okay, thank you, David.
Ashley, did you get the pictures? Were you able to get the pictures of the Water Street parking garage just in case?
Let me pull them up real quick. Hold on one second.
I can also see if I can. Yeah, I cannot, unless you let me share my screen.
Okay, yes, I have them. How do I let you share your screen? Do you know?
Let's do the following. If you could show the pictures, if you have them there, the two that are taken from far away so we can see the water lines, and then one interior one. Don't need to show the detail of the knob of the screw.
Okay, let me, I have all of them downloaded. Let me just get the right ones up.
Okay. It's just to give them a view of where we are with that project. So any of those will work.
Okay, Hilda, I'm going to share my screen real quick so you can tell me which ones to keep up. Okay, so this is the first one.
When you disappeared, yes.
Keep this one up.
That's perfect. And then the next one that has the, we could see that's from the inside. And then the last one, maybe. The last one. That's it.
Okay, so I don't need that one.
You can have that one too.
And then.
Actually, that's from the inside. That's more about technical connections. I don't think we need to show that.
All right, let me close that one.
Okay, that way you just have up. Yeah.
Okay, so just those four?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Yep, absolutely. I'm going to give it a little more time till we start the Facebook Live.
Of course.
Okay, so we're not talking on it. Hi, Corey and Tracy.
Hi. Hey, how are you, Ashley?
Good, how are you guys?
Good.
Surviving.
Hey, Ronique. Corey, did you get the opening statement document I sent you?
I did, yes.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Hey, Ash, it's Ro.
Hey, Ro. Welcome aboard.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Hey, Corey.
Hi, Ronique.
How are you?
Good.
Yeah, I know, right? Okay, I'm going on mute.
put up the little profile picture of yourself, David? Or does anybody know how you do that?
I don't remember how I did it. Someone showed me a few months ago.
Oh, all right.
Hello. This is Shantae Mayo.
Hi, Shantae.
Hello.
I'm going to give it one more minute and then we'll go Facebook Live and maybe wait for a few more committee members to join before we call the meeting to order. If you're okay with that, Corey?
Sounds good.
Okay.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Ann.
Good morning. All right, yeah, it is still morning, technically. Almost afternoon.
made it just in time here. Great. I just want to make sure it's all set up. I'll be back in just a moment.
Okay, it's noon. We still have some people coming on board. We're live on Facebook now. So I'm just gonna keep watching the waiting room, virtual waiting room here.
Paul Sifton just entered. Are you able to hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
So we only have two members at the moment?
When I checked in, they said that I was number 10.
All right, no, we're looking for voting members of the Art and Public Places Committee, sir. Sorry. That's what I mean. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Hmm. So I've been in South Florida now for a week. Has my yard been getting water in Jacksonville for the last week? Yes?
I'd say a fair amount, yeah.
Good.
How's South Florida been? Are you guys, I guess there's more hospital, more hospitals are full there, but is it much different culturally with the shutdown and mask wearing and things like that?
Yes, it's pretty much 90% mask wearing here in South Florida. And a lot of social distancing, people, walk away from each other on the sidewalk and that kind of thing to avoid each other. I don't know what's going on at the bars or restaurants. I haven't investigated that.
Are masks mandatory down there?
They were in Palm Beach County, where I am. Yes, they were made mandatory last Tuesday for all indoor gathering sessions and outdoor public places also. But it was rather poorly defined, so I don't know if the police are giving out citations for that or not, for real. But it seems very easy just for everyone to wear masks. I don't know why it's an issue anywhere in the United States,
They lived with no shoes, no shirt, no service for so long. I don't know why they're making such a big deal out of having to wear a mask.
It's true.
So I'm just going to give it one more minute before calling to order. From a committee standpoint, I'm just looking to see how many voting members we have on board here so far.
We have 3 at the moment. We need 1 more. We have 6 total members, so 1 more would give a majority, or it would give quorum. Oh, and I see Mary, Harvey, and Suzanne. So we have quorum now.
All right. Wonderful. Well, great. I will go ahead and call this meeting to order. For those of you from the public, thank you for joining us very much. My name is Corey Driscoll, the chair of the Art and Public Places Committee. Before getting too far into this meeting, we'll first look at this notice that I need to read regarding meeting online. In an effort to slow the spread of the COVID-19 virus and to encourage social distancing, Governor DeSantis issued Executive Order 2069, allowing local governments to hold public meetings using communications media technology rather than in a physical location. In keeping with the executive order, the Art and Public Places Committee meeting is being held via Zoom teleconference, which allows interested persons to view and participate in the meeting remotely. The APP members that are on the call so far, at least I'll list the members. I'm not certain who all is here, who's just looking at the participation list, but myself, Corey Driscoll, Miko Fuentes, Mary Harvey, Kimberly Kim, Suzanne Pickett, and Tracy Thornton are the voting members of the committee. There are some committee candidates who have been meeting with us for several months now that are not yet mayor approved to be on the committee, and those are Ann Carey, who's a Cultural Council board member, Karen Fagan's also a Cultural Council board member, and Ilva Roos, who's an art professional with MoCA. And we have our special guest, David Miggett, from the Office of General Counsel as well, and Cultural Council staff, Glenn Weiss, who's the director of the Public Art Program, Ashley Wolf, program coordinator, and Hilda. How do you pronounce your last name, Hilda? Ateju, I'm not sure. But Public Art Project, she's our project manager.
Ategi.
Ategi.
Okay. Ategi. Yeah.
All right. And so those are our introductions. And I will now turn it over to the Director of Public Art, Glenn Weiss, for our public, for the welcome.
Good afternoon. Good to see you all. Today I would, I'd like to, you know, of course, welcome you, and also just bring you up to date with just a few issues before we go into the agenda and the projects. One issue that may be of interest is still that Joy is working on how the city will move ahead with determination about the Confederate monuments. And that is still in the mayor's office in terms of making a recommendation of what people might be engaged in that process. And so we should hear from the mayor's office how they would like to move ahead, but that's still moving ahead with a process on what to do with our Civil War monuments in the city. That's the only kind of large scale attribute. The other things are to note that there are a series of very serious projects going on in the community to date, which include both the development of the Lift Every Voice and Sing Park design, which should start to become public in the next week or so, and the walkway and the possible historic trail in La Villa related to that, Shawana Brooks and her team in the Northwest area is moving ahead with a larger version of the six feet away gallery on large scale murals in the Northwest, in which to speak to issues of concern and social justice in our community. And it appears that Art Republic will also move ahead later this fall with a series of murals related to the issues and concerns of African American artists in the United States and elsewhere within our city. Are there any other large scale issues or larger projects that people are aware of? Okay, I just wanted to let you know that there are other things happening. I'm sorry, the other thing is Baptist Health has also issued a call to artists for a $250,000 hanging sculpture in their new building, which I don't know what the name of it is, that's going to go up. And there could be as much as $1 million spent on art, as Baptist Health did for the cancer research building. So those are all very exciting things that are happening in our community, and will move public art forward with or without us, but hopefully with us into the future. I've talked to Corey about this, and I'm just recommending is that today, besides the approval of the minutes, this is really a discussion meeting rather than an approval meeting today, to go back and discuss, of course, again, the courthouse project and come to a little bit more consensus. We're going to follow through rather than on the going through each of the agenda items. I'm recommending that we go directly to the list of projects that you have, you should have received in terms of the project updates, and to go through those projects. Because I think that what has happened is, because we were disassociated with each other for such a long time, that we need to kind of get back on track and understand where we are and how we can move forward on everything, if that's okay with everyone.
Yeah, if I may, Glenn, I just suggest that we go ahead and if we have a motion for the June meeting minutes, to go ahead and do that, and then we'll get those approved. And so if you all are following along in our agenda there, we'll kind of skip over action items 2 and 3, the Duval County Courthouse and Murray Hill Library. We'll talk about them in the project report, but we'll go to the bottom of that page where We're looking at the project reports, and we'll look at the whole, sort of the whole scope of the work we're doing, and then get into more discussion there. But so is that okay with you,
Corey?
Glenn? Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Should I go ahead and read the meeting instructions briefly to kind of remind existing members how we're voting virtually, as well as giving instructions to all members of the public that are on this call with us?
Yes, might as well do that now, I think, yeah.
Okay, I'll try to do it quickly. Let me just get to it. Okay, the agenda and meeting materials for this meeting can be viewed and downloaded from the Art and Public Places Committee website by going to culturalcouncil.org/transparency under committee meetings. Individuals who experience difficulty accessing the meeting, obviously everyone that's in the meeting right now is not having any issues, but can contact myself, Ashley Wolf, at 904-962-6201. In the event multiple people have technical difficulties that preclude them from attending or accessing the meeting will be recessed or postponed. When the meeting has concluded, the recorded version may be accessed at culturalcouncil.org/transparency under committee minutes. Regarding meeting participation, we are letting the audience, all visitors, know that Cultural Council staff will control muting and unmuting if necessary. You all have the ability to mute and unmute yourselves at this point. In regard to raising your hand, which is how you are recognized, you can virtually raise your hand by accessing the side panel you'll see on your screen there next to your name. You can, no, I'm sorry, not next to your name. Under, there's a raise your hand icon that you can use. Cultural Council staff will assist with calling on participants and will put your hand down once you've been recognized. You can also put your own hand down. And we have disabled the chat function for this meeting. In addition to that, we are Facebook Live. We will not be answering any comments on Facebook. It's for listening purposes only. All members of the public are welcome to and invited to join the Zoom meeting. Let's see, this meeting is being recorded, minutes are being taken. Therefore, any individual who speaks during the meeting should do so clearly and slowly to ensure that they are heard and understood for recording purposes and by other participants and attendees, especially those who are not using the video function. Cultural Council staff will control muting and unmuting of microphones if necessary, but participants shall also make sure to keep their microphones on mute at all times when not speaking. Cultural Council staff has the capability to mute microphones that are transmitting sound that causes feedback or echoes, or that is otherwise disruptive to the meeting. Each person must wait to be recognized by the meeting chair or staff before speaking. If people attempt to speak out of turn, talk over others, or otherwise disrupt the meeting, they may be removed from the meeting. Each time an individual speaks during the meeting, they must provide their first and last name to ensure those dialing in can identify the speaker. And members of the public and staff must state their first and last name at the time they make an initial comment. Members of the public and staff speaking more than once only need to state their first and last name prior to making additional comments. Regarding public comments, for all Art and Public Places committee meetings, the public comment period occurs at the end of the agenda. All public comments should pertain only to items on the agenda and are limited to 3 minutes in duration. The agenda and associated materials can be accessed at culturalcouncil.org/transparency under committee meetings. Members of the public may submit their comments by email to Glenn Weiss at glenn@culturalcouncil.org or myself, Ashley, at culturalcouncil.org. Public comments submitted by email will be read into the record if there are any prior to the meeting, and then all other comments will be addressed after the meeting has concluded. All public comments will be given equal consideration regardless of the manner in which they are submitted. And then last point regarding votes. Votes will be taken by roll call. The meeting chair will announce the name of each voting member of the committee, who will clearly announce their vote for the record so that all participants and attendees can hear their vote. Okay, that concludes the instructions, and I will hand it back over to Corey. Thank you so much.
All right, great. Thank you, Ashley. If we could have a member of the committee, or if there's any discussion about the June meeting minutes, or a motion to approve those as written, please so state.
Hello, this is Kimberly Kim. I make a motion to approve the June meeting minutes.
Hi, this is Tracy. There was one thing that I did notice during the, when I was taking a look at the minutes. It didn't note that we had discussed the possibility of coming back to the minutes at a later date, because I was having some technical issues and didn't get a chance to look at the minutes initially. It did not state that part of our conversation. Was it in there somewhere and I just missed it?
You're talking about an approval of the February minutes that where we had approved those, but you hadn't read them yet? Is that
what? Yeah, you're, I had not had a chance to see them because for whatever reason they weren't coming through in my email initially. And so I just didn't see a recording of the fact that we'd actually discussed not tabling it, not tabling the vote to approve the minutes, but the fact that we needed, that if someone needed to come back and later add something to those minutes. I didn't know if that needed to be noted in the minutes or if it should have been.
I don't want to be stating inaccurately that they were unanimously approved, but if they were approved, the February minutes, by the other voting members, then presumably they would still be approved and you would just have not cast your vote. I don't really know what we're achieving by doing anything other than what we have here.
No, it was just a question about whether or not it would have been considered unanimous if I could vote. Yeah. That would have just been accurate in that case.
Yeah, but I'm gonna ask the Office of General Counsel, David, if what the standard operational procedure here would be.
So I have just a follow-up question or two, so I understand the situation correctly. Were the February minutes were approved at last month's meeting, is that correct?
They were approved, yes.
And I'm sorry, who was just speaking? I didn't get the name.
It's Tracy Thornton.
And Tracy, are you saying you didn't vote on it, or were you present at the meeting at that point in time?
I was present at the meeting, but I did not vote because I had not had the opportunity to actually see the minutes. And so I'd asked for, I guess it was a motion that was made that the minutes could be approved, but with the caveat that if there was an issue or a discrepancy with those minutes, that we could then come back and revisit that. That was it. It wasn't anything big. I just wanted to make sure it was recorded accurately that I did not vote.
Okay, so two things I want to share with the whole committee. First, we could always amend minutes in the future if the need arises, if an error is discovered by majority vote. And second, and this trips a lot of people up, but I just want to share it with you all. Under Florida law, you have to vote on an item unless you have a conflict of interest. So going forward, and I've seen this happen many times in the past. So, if you weren't at a meeting, I would recommend that you still vote yes, unless you have a specific reason to vote no, because the law still requires you to vote on an agenda item. So unless you have I would recommend that unless you have a reason to disapprove, that you actually vote on a matter, you can't abstain, But by all means, do what you did. I think that was a good way of doing it, is put your concerns on the record during discussion on the motion.
So you're saying you should vote, even you should vote to approve minutes that you haven't read?
Well, you're not allowed to abstain under law. So I guess you could also decide to vote to not approve them. I guess that's your choice to make, but you can't not vote, whether it's due to absence or due to, you know, not having an opportunity to read them. You're still required to vote. And I know it's a minor, minutes are usually a minor detail, but you can't abstain from voting on the minutes.
Good to know. Thank you.
All right.
I would just suggest in the future, if anyone feels there's a need to change those minutes for any reason, bring it up. And if it's
just bring it up at the following meeting
that's approved by a majority of the members, then it would be so amended.
You would just bring it up at the following meeting. Understood. Yes. Thank you.
So my motion still stands.
Okay. Thank you, Kimberly, for your motion. Do we have a second to the motion to pass the June meeting?
This is Mary Harvey. I'll second.
All right. I'll take a roll call vote. First, in favor of passing the June meeting minutes, Nico, yay or nay?
Yay.
And Mary?
Yay.
Kimberly?
Yay.
Suzanne?
Yay.
And Tracy?
Yay.
And I also vote yay. So the June meeting minutes will pass unanimously, and we will move on to the general discussion about the project report as it stands today. And I will turn it over to Cultural Council staff to do that.
So Ashley, are you gonna broadcast, or are you giving me control?
And it's just so everyone.
I can broadcast. I'm not sure how to give you control.
Okay.
Okay, let me just share my screen. Hold on 1 minute.
This is a document too that I believe Ashley emailed out and that was accessible on the website as well for those committee members.
Can you all see the agenda packet? It should be the agenda page first.
Yep.
All right, I'm gonna go ahead and scroll down to the project report.
Ashley, can you enlarge that? Okay, thank you. We're just gonna, depending on the project manager, so first, if Hilda could go through where we are on the Legends project.
Absolutely. So on the Legends projects, we were waiting for the city to get the foundation work bid out. And I just got news this morning that it's open for bids, and then we should get a confirmation by July 13th. Other than that, once we have the foundation, then we can move on with the planning for the installation of the piece. The sculpture is already finished and it's on storage in the artist's hands.
I just have one comment to add to that, just to be aware in terms of our costs and our budget, is that we are paying for the storage. Because that was what we thought would be less expensive than moving it here and to having a crane to take it off and then bringing in another crane at another date to lift it. Now, I'm not quite sure whether that will be the truth in the end, but that was our decision a little while ago. So we are paying for storage on somebody else's site, not the artist's storage area, because he doesn't have capacity to store it.
Correct. Okay, and in regards to any questions on Legend?
Yes, this is Tracy Thornton.
Hi, Tracy.
And just to go ahead and lead you into Legends as well, and I am the chair of this ASP as well, just to let people know. There's an issue with running Rust. So is that something that is being taken care of? Or I'm trying to figure out why this is being considered completed if there seems to be a technical issue, or is it something that's minor that can be taken care of once it's reached the site, or would that be something that Donald would be taking care of now? And also site prep. I'm interested in what's being done. I know we can't quite get started on a number of things, but what's happening as far as site prep? So two questions. What's happening with the running Rust, and what is happening as far as site prep is concerned?
In regards to the running Rust, are you asking, I just want to be clear in the question, are you asking if the sculpture itself is rusting, or that there's going to be running lines on the base?
Well, I see that that's what's noted in the update. It says issue with running Rust. So if it's being noted as an issue, a synonym for issue would be problem. So is it a problem that's being dealt with, or I'm just trying to figure out what's the status of the rusting issue?
Okay, I'll tell you what I know. And Glenn, please jump in if you think I'm missing anything. In regards to the running Rust, that, as I understand it, what happens sometimes with these sculptures is that when it rains, the rust from the sculpture makes stain on the concrete base. And what we were trying to do for Winton, at least, I don't know with Legends, because this foundation was designed before I got started on this, was to make sure that the water did not sit on the foundation or on the base. So we would avoid any stains on it for maintenance.
Hilda, let me interject.
Yes, please. Yes.
What we did with Legends is, instead of it being a big, large circle concrete base for it to sit on, it's actually a cruciform base. So it only comes up, it only has 1.5 foot wide space where it actually comes down on the base. You may remember the sculpture is a kind of cruciform shape at the base.
Yes.
And then the water will run off that top area, but it gives us a much smaller area to clean and to take care of related to the base. We learned this issue because I went to Truth and Restoration, the Peace and Justice Center in Alabama, where all the monuments to the lynching victims are made of the same Corten steel, and I noticed the rust coming down on the concrete there in Alabama. So we did make that change so that there's small areas for the rust to actually stain. And also, but the other good thing is that once the rust sets, it doesn't rust that much anymore. And what's happened as a result of us being delayed is the rust has been building up in St. Petersburg. So we won't even have as much of a problem, because really the problem with the running rust is really in the first year, not on a permanent basis.
Okay, so is it lifted off the ground where it's stored, or is it just kind of sitting in rust, and anything that's, is it gathering at the base of the sculpture in any way where it's being stored?
This is a material called Corten steel. It rusts, the first layer of molecules on the steel itself rusts, and mm-hmm. that protects it from rusting anymore.
Okay.
That the intent is to have that brown color as the sculpture.
Okay, so the issue is kind of a non-issue then.
The issue has been solved. I probably should have taken that out, because we did solve it. Yes.
Okay, cool.
But it's good to know that everybody knows what's going on. So
absolutely. Thank you. And then the second part of my question was the site prep. When is that going to get started?
Part of the site prep.
That will happen with the construction. When the construction is being released for the foundation and the lighting and the remaking of the site. The Parks Department is investing something like $60,000 in renovating the site and the lighting. So they're taking down the light pole. They're taking up a bunch of the sod in order to put down other kinds of plants. They're building the foundation, and they have all the uplights and another light that's on the canopy of the Legend Center to light the project.
So they're already taking care of that? I mean, so is it, that's getting ready to happen?
Like that's what they're bidding right now. That's what Hilda
said. Oh, they're bidding it. Okay.
They bid it. They just went out for bid, and on the 13th, the bid is due for that.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. If there are no other questions with Legends, I'll move on to Winton Drive Project. On that one, as you're all aware, we have sent out emails, and they've been posted to collect quotes for the base of the sculpture. The deadline for that will be July 30th. So currently I'm receiving emails and storing all the quotes into a spreadsheet that then will be, we'll have to probably, the quotes, there's a limit also in the number of words that these quotes can have, and we're trying to figure to have all of them ready for the artist to look at and then narrow it down. And after that, after the artist agrees on what he would like to have on the base as a, as the designer of the piece, then we'll come to the art selecting panel for final approval. We have engineering happening now for the base, and the sculpture is also, it's the fabrication of the sculpture has begun. While they're working on all the different details for the fabrication of each laminate that creates that sculpture. I don't know how, you've all seen the sculpture, obviously the proposal. So everything is moving forward for that project.
Hey, Hilda,
today.
Mm-hmm. Just one question about the quotes. And I know me and Glenn Weed exchanged an email just this morning, and we hadn't really had a chance to talk about it.
Yeah.
Those quotes will go to the ASP panel to be chosen for the community. I know because me and Glenn, we were talking about whether or not it would go to the artist and, you know, and then he would choose and then the ASP panel would choose.
I think that's how it's going to happen, that the artist gets to select the quote that goes on his sculpture, and well, then we would send it to the panel for approval. So well, the final say will be from the panel, but the artist would choose what actually goes with the intent of the sculpture.
Well, technically, the sculpture doesn't belong to the artist. It would belong to the community, and to leave the community members that are representing the constituency doesn't seem to line up. Not for me, and I'm the chairperson.
No, so I understand.
He might have an intent for his sculpture, the ASP might have an intention for the community. He does not live in the community. He's only had, you know, a few hours of exposure.
And so therefore,
the way he feels about it and the way community representatives would feel about it would be totally different.
No, I understand that, Tracy, and it makes sense the way you're explaining it. But it, as I see it, the fact that we're in engaging the community with the process of collecting the quotes, it's already the first step to get the community's input, and then the artist would select the ones that he thinks that goes with the sculpture that he designed as an idea, as a whole, not just, you know, separate pieces. And then the panel will approve or not. So you still have, the panel still has the final say. And if it's something that doesn't feel that it's what the community should have, then we will go back to the next one until we find something that would be agreeable on by all the parties, is how I see it. Glenn, does that make sense?
So this is Glenn Weiss. I forgot to introduce myself each time. I apologize. So Tracy, as you remember, Don is a very kind of communal guy in certain ways. So I think he should have like kind of the right of first cut to go through and see what's there, but you should also be able, the committee should also be able to see all the suggestions. Right. And I don't think that it's like Don comes, he gives it to Hilda magically gives it to you. I think there could be a dialogue with the panel and Don after Don's had a chance to make his thoughts about doing it. Does that seem like a good solution?
So this is where we are right now. So to understand a lot of the bulk of what this project means to this community, mm-hmm. the project is going into a community of color. So first of all, second, you have people that have not ever been truly incorporated into the art process. And I feel like I've been as gentle about it as I can. But the moment that we're in right now, culturally, you have to understand that to have a white person to choose for the community, it's not choosing for his artwork. He was inspired by the community to do a certain piece of artwork. And if, you know, if we're going to actually turn what really should, in my personal opinion, just be a piece of artwork into a monument mm-hmm. to African American contributions to Jacksonville, then that from beginning to end should be approved. Those quotes should be approved by the panel that is representing that community. And so to disenfranchise this community once again, i.e. through the panel, is another problem. I have stated what my issue is with it. And I think Donald is a very nice person. It's not personal, but you have to understand if you're truly interested in turning this into the monument that mm-hmm. what it now seems to be framed as being, as opposed to just artwork in the community, then you're gonna hit some bumps in the road when it comes to when you include people and when you don't include people. Does that make sense?
May I ask you a question, Tracy? I'm sure. trying to understand this. Okay, so I understand where you're coming from, and I mm-hmm. see the need of having the community come up with also the solution, not only the proposal of quotes. Now, this is open to the large community, not only Winton. I'm assuming that anybody can provide or suggest a quote.
Yes.
But it's mostly coming from people of the Winton community and the people who were involved in the original engagement of the community to gather information for the artist. So I have a list of about 21 or 22 quotes already. And mm-hmm. I think of those 21 or 22, and don't quote me, but it's about, I want to say 90% or 85% of those come from an African-American person.
Great.
So that already is giving you the quotes that are coming from the community. Don is not coming up with these quotes, the community is. And I think one way of being able to channel this and create finish the project would be to then have the artist and the panel narrow them down, but they're still coming from the community. They're still coming from from mostly African Americans in the community. So I wonder if, I just don't, there needs to be some way of being able to narrow it down for the sculpture to be engraved with these quotes.
Well, and I don't understand.
The panel will be the final say on that.
Yeah, I'm not understanding.
I'd like to weigh in.
Ahead, yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, this is Ann Carey. I know I'm not a voting member yet, but hopefully next month I will be. It feels to me a little bit like we have put our faith into this artist. We've selected this artist. The artist has met with the community. The artist wants to represent the community as much as possible. And I'm not an artist like you guys, and I hope this isn't oversimplification, but if we had a visual artist paint something, but we decided what frame to put on it, that feels to me that, you know, the frame needs to marry the painting, and the painting and the artist gets a say on what that frame looks like. And so we've got a sculpture here, and it would make sense to me that the artist would weigh in on what the monument or the pedestal or the base or whatever should look like. That the idea of engaging the community, it's already happening. There can be dialogue that will happen, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But I think that meets the criteria of let's do this for the community, but also maintains the integrity of the artist's intent in being commissioned and being paid to design and prepare this thing for us. So I'm fine with what Hilda has recommended in terms of, you know, get the quotes in. I think it's been a fair process. Get the quotes in, let the artist review, maybe, you know, discussion with the ASP. And I never look at anything as as nothing is a pure democracy. Nothing is accomplished by just pure voting. There's always discussion.
I would
expect that to happen.
If I may just step in for a moment, it's really about, this is such a perfect example of what we do on this committee. It's like this, the democratic selection of art. And so we're trying to get to a place where the community isn't telling the artist necessarily what to make, exactly like dictating it to them, and that the artist isn't dictating to the community what's going to be on, you know, in their community. So I think that the process we're trying to come to is one sort of a collaborative one, and that's certainly what Glenn suggested. Tracy, does that satisfy what you're saying or no?
Well, what I believe is not being seen and understood is that what's happened is that this has come from a place of let's turn this into a monument. And so if you're trying to turn it into a monument, then you need to be mindful of all that you invoke by turning it into a monument to African American contributions to the specific community where this piece is going. So first you have an artist who is not a minority artist. Second, you then have the ASP panel who is being stopped from making the decisions. This is the panel that's been selected to make the decisions for the community. The community process has been great. I do not discount that. What I'm saying is that I don't believe that it's necessary for Don. It's already been a collaborative process. It's been a wonderful collaborative process. He's been very open to suggestions. He'd initially talked about putting names on the base. I don't know if any of the other members recall, but we moved from putting names on the base because there was a possibility of issues with that down the line, to putting a quote onto the base. And we as a panel had discussed and voted on choosing a quote. All of this stuff is just happening very late. We had discussed putting the quote on the base and reaching out to the community about the quote. And so that's the community content. The artist is contributing. And even if it was the question of an artist and the frame that they chose for their work, the person who owns the work always reserves the right to change the frame if it's going into their home or their place of business. And so though I do appreciate and understand the different perspectives, when you're turning something into a monument to contributions from a specific community, then especially when this community has been disenfranchised when it comes to art in the first place, then you're taking away the power of the ASP. That's what they should be doing. And it's not about me and what I want. It's once again, going back to the panel that was selected specifically for this reason. But I would just say you would need to explain, how is this a monument for African American contributions when you're allowing a white male to choose to do the artwork, and then there's a white male who's choosing the quote that he feels best describes not just the artwork, but it would be something that would be for the community. It would be what people are reading. And so at some point along the line, you have to understand where those breaks have to happen. And though maybe in another set of circumstances, he might choose it, but I think within the confines of this circumstance, you might have to understand that you can't say that this is for brown people and then leave them out of the process where it feels most convenient to be quote unquote fair.
Okay, I understand what you're saying, and I think you're, there is a couple of things that we need to also consider is that the artist was selected by the panel already. So he's part of the equation. Now, it turned into something else because of what we're living today.
I'm going to interrupt you, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
This is a decision for the, we should stop as staff. We're arguing the way we should.
That's where I was going to come to. Maybe the panel needs to decide how the process should be because.
That sounds even better.
I'd like to interject. Hi, this is Nico. I think, can we just have a compromise? Tracy, could your panel agree on like the five or two or three most appropriate quotes as that you think would be best for this sculpture, and then work with the artist to come up with have him choose after that, or you make suggestions like from everything that we've received, these are the five best ones. What do you feel? And he might just throw it back to you guys and say, I don't know, these all work great. I think there's a lot of opportunity for more collaboration like you guys are doing. I think, as your panel, as you've discussed, your panel has the responsibility and the obligation to make this all about the community. And so this is just an opportunity for you guys to vet everything that we've received so far or that we're going to receive coming up, and then present that to the artist. And then I'm sure he'd be like totally happy to like work with you guys or take your best opinion. That's it. Thanks.
Thank you, Miko, for your comment. I know Karen had her hand raised as well.
Yeah, I took my hand down because I think I got my answer. I kept hearing that the art turned into a monument, and I wasn't clear if the committee had been involved in that part of. In the fact that there was even going to be a quote there. And it sounds like the committee was involved in that and approved that. And so that was what I needed cleared up to kind of understand where we were. Thank you.
Yeah, that's exactly it. The committee did approve because once again, that's been this process. It has been a very collaborative process. Donald has been very flexible and he's been very understanding with what the committee has seen and what the committee is looking for as far as this piece of artwork is concerned. And so it's already been a very collaborative process. I think that maybe what does need to happen, and thank you, Miko, for your comments. I believe that the panel itself needs to make the decision. I represent the panel as far as this process is concerned, but I believe that the panel should make that decision. And if they decide, hey, we do want the artist to have a say in this, I think that would be great. It's not for me to say. I am trying to understand both sides of this because I am an artist and I do understand the idea of framing your artwork, but I do understand also if this is a piece that's going to a community, it doesn't rest, the final say should not rest with the artist. The final say should either rest with the community or specifically the city where the piece of artwork is going. And no disrespect to Donald, but he should not be the person that makes, a final decision as far as how something is represented in a specific community. And yeah. So I think it probably would be a good idea to possibly just take this back to the panel itself. And if they decide they're cool with this artist having the final say, or if they want to have the final say, I think it's something that should be left to the panel. That's why it's there.
If I may, though, real quick, Tracy, I think that the panel still has the final say.
Yeah, right, has veto power.
Yeah. The panel would still be finalized. They would see all the quotes that had been submitted and what Donald had selected and approve or disapprove of that design. Otherwise, we're doing it different than we've ever, like in terms of the artist sort of proposes something, the panel approves. They do definitely get final decision. That's what we're after. We have to have some process.
We actually propose
the artist what to put on the sculpture. I don't think that would be, it's not normal.
Well, the panel actually proposed the quotes. It was the artist that had proposed having names. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't that he proposed having a quote. We talked about it and we thought that that would probably be a better option. And once again, I understand what you guys are saying, but at the same time, I believe that how this is done, should be the ASP's decision and not just a blanket, well, we're going to give this to this to the artist. And it's not so much a responsibility, but it's an opportunity to, well, once again, it's fine. You know, I've said my piece. I would really, you know, I've given my opinion. I would like for the ASP to have the opportunity to make the decision, because I personally don't see why it would be that Donald would be involved at this place anyway, because it's going to be a different company that puts the quote on the base. So
I see that, Kimberly. I'm sorry, Tracy, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
Kimberly also has a comment.
Well, I think she answered my comment. Sorry, this is Kimberly Kim. I thought, I guess we were rounding it back to the artist doesn't have the final say, that ASP, which is the artist selection panel, has the final say in terms of veto power. So mm-hmm. I think she confirmed it, but that was my question, is just if ASP has the final say, then the artist is simply just the artist. I mean, they might have their input, but ultimately the panel decides from the community what the quote should be. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, I think, Kimberly, the discussion's mostly about sort of really the order of that process. So what Hilda proposed was that the artist would select from the quotes given by the community, the artist would select which quote or which quotes he wanted to use, and then he would propose that to the panel. The panel would get final approval. That's what Hilda proposed. And I think, if I'm understanding Tracy correctly, she would like for the panel to select which quote or quotes to use from those collected and tell the artist which one they want.
And the compromise that I heard was that there just be a discussion. And this may all be a moot point if there is discussion between the artist and the panel. And in the interest of time, you guys, this meeting's over with in, 30 minutes? And this has been really, really good discussion. But I think we just have to come to a compromise here or some kind of agreement that either we agree to disagree. In the end, the panel has the final say.
Right.
In the end, that's the case. The artist is engaged. He's got a product he's going to deliver. Let's make sure there's a discussion there before he brings anything to a vote. I think that's the thing that just needs to happen.
Then
take it from there. Decide what next steps are based on the vote. Good.
Thanks for your information. Thank you.
And in the meantime, I'll just keep collecting the quotes.
We can just move on. It's fine. It's fine. I've given my opinion, and you know, Glenn, we can talk about it, and Hilda.
Oh, we appreciate your opinion. Your opinion. I understand. Yes, the selection will be happening as you all decide how to do it. In the meantime, we still have till the 30th. To collect quotes, and we'll let me know what we need to do with those.
Okay. So in the interest of time, let's move on to the Cuba Hunter Park project.
Okay.
The next project on the list.
Okay. This is Ashley Wolf, project manager for Cuba Hunter Park project. The artist Matt Babcock is working on assembling the sculpture. He's received the materials from the Japanese manufacturer towards the end of May. So right now we have an estimated installation date in September right now. So we're on schedule for the newer revised schedule due to, you know, COVID and everything else. So he's just working away and we're working on some signage right now, some informational signage specific to the piece, and instructions on how to interact with the artwork. And that's all I have.
All right. And then the Roosevelt overpass at Edgewood.
I'm the chair of that panel. I don't know that there's are any new updates since we've last talked about this, but we've got the artist design concept, and now there's still been some issues with the which electrical stuff to use as far as what the artist wanted to use lighting wise versus what FDOT wanted to use. But I think that those things are just being worked out between those entities. Cultural Council staff, any updates on this stuff?
No, I'll answer. I'm sorry. This is Glenn. I'll just answer for Hilda. No, right now we're just there. We thought that everything was ready to be signed off by the city council, and the city council staff agreed to sign off based upon because there has to be an action taken by the city. But apparently Randy DeFord and her staff is smarter than we are, and they put that already in the original ordinance when they passed the motion. So, but apparently there was some glitch from FDOT side in terms of what exactly they were submitting to the city to sign off on. So, but it's ready to be signed off on, and then it will go to FDOT and everything will be integrated into the process. And the next step is really is once that happens is to move forward with thinking about the murals.
All right, great.
So Ashley, you want to jump over all the collaborative projects? Well, down to, yeah, we have to talk about the courthouse. So if I may interject on the courthouse, Chair Driscoll.
Sure.
So as you recall, last time there was a discussion of the project related to the disappointment, I think that's fair to say, in relationship to the restrictions on the site itself, and that related primarily to the preference by the security of the courthouse to not have any trees planted on the site, to a series of people, not only the courthouse security, that didn't want benches on the site. There were long-term sitting facilities, you might say, and that Monroe Street had to be maintained as a potential for the future. And that also that given the fiscal situations for the city and priorities is that for us to request large different kinds of maintenance than they're currently providing, which is basically a lawnmower and a power washer, we didn't see a way in which our budget could accommodate 3 acres of maintenance without the acceptance of Public Works. So that's where we are from the last time. I'm sorry I failed to really talk to hardly any of you about this project moving forward, but I think it really, at this point, it comes down to really two options for the committee, and I guess that's kind of where we are. And one is to accept the recommendation of the stakeholders committee, which was this with these restrictions. It doesn't mean that in later somehow through some magic that some of these restrictions might be lifted, although I'm skeptical that that would happen. Or the second thing is to start a different kind of process of lobbying and discussions, of which from my more discussions with Lori Boyer, who is, you know, quite connected, I didn't feel there was much possibility of motion on these issues related to changing them at the short term. To the chair, I would pass out those two items for a discussion in terms of how the committee would like us to move forward. If they'd like for us to move forward with the stakeholders' recommendations, or whether they would like to put it off for an unknown amount of time. I don't know, in terms of lobbying for those, for the trees and for the benches and for the elimination of the road, which I also don't think would happen. So
yeah, as much as and I'll open it up for discussion too, but I just wanted to say my piece sort of opening that up with the courthouse. As disappointing as it is, what we've kind of gotten back from various departments, whether about security concerns or trees or benches or what,
The stakeholder meeting, you know, that idea was, those people were brought together as, I think, probably our strongest lobbying effort. I mean, you know, who is going to be lobbying if not sort of the stakeholders of the community, for whether that's more money or for being able to put trees up or whatever. So I mean, to me, the committee has one fair option, which is to accept what essentially the stakeholders have presented to us, maybe with a few caveats or with some adjustments to it. But to go back to another process, I'm like, what on earth would that be? And if this wasn't effective for getting more of what we want, what might be more effective than a stakeholders meeting with, you know, judges and various people that were invested in this particular spot? So that's kind of me pushing for approval of the stakeholders proposal, maybe with a few, you know, if we can come up with some adjustments to that make us happier or get us closer to what the project that we want, then by all means. But I think that to do anything but accept the stakeholders is just spinning wheels, and as Glenn said, just makes it uncertain as to what the future is or when it might, you know, when we might ever get a project there.
See, Kimberly Kim has raised her hand.
Well, hi, this is Kimberly Kim. As the proposed chair for the Courthouse Plaza, I agree with Corey, the chair. I think that if we do take a pause on this for our own personal, you know, ideas about it, it really negates the whole process, because, you know, Mary Harvey and I sat through the meetings. A lot of people were unhappy with, you know, the idea that there could be no standing sitting areas and no additional trees. However, everybody just was, you know, really wanted to kind of move forward with it and not have to hold it up any longer for those items. Hopefully we can make that change maybe in the future, but to kind of hold up the process at this point would really just be a disservice to all those who have spent their time and energy trying to move this process forward. We're already behind, in my opinion, and we're already under budget, but I think that it's better to have something than nothing in that open, beautiful space that we could, you know, kind of start at least to move the process forward. So I don't know exactly what we would need to do as a committee to move that forward, but it would be nice to kind of get the process rolling because we're already behind.
Tracy has a comment also. Tracy, did you still have a comment?
Oh, I apologize. I was just talking to mute. I was muted. This is Tracy Thornton. I apologize. So let me just make sure I understand what the question is that we're asking. Are we saying to, should we go forward as far as what stakeholders want, or should we, you know, take a moment and reconfigure considering all of the restrictions? Which one are we talking about here? Just trying to move forward with an understanding of the restrictions, or trying to uphold what the stakeholders meetings, what all of those findings were. I agree with Kimberly. That was a lot of time and effort put into getting, you know, public and community input. What's the question that we're asking here? Should we move forward just ignoring what happened?
It's basically action or inaction. I mean, those are our really only choices. We can do nothing, hope that maybe the security, concerns would be appeased. You know, all those things that the stakeholders dealt with, you know, they sort of dreamt up a vision for the place and then met with, we can't do that, can't do this. And they still came to us with a proposal of sort of like, well, given the restrictions, we can still do this. And that came to this committee last meeting. And we, you know, we were freshly disappointed about those restrictions. So we really just voted to postpone voting on it. And so we could continue to do that in the hopes that perhaps Glenn's conversations or other cultural council lobbying efforts would be able to lift some of the restrictions or change them. That, as stated by, I think, almost everyone, has been like a fool's errand, or it's been an uphill battle at the very least. So it is really just a matter of, well, what's, you know, looking at the stakeholders' proposal and saying, do we approve as is, or do we want to make some recommendations to improve that stakeholders' proposal and moving forward with the project?
Well, and I understand, you know, we're not an impossible position, but in a difficult position. I do believe that a huge part of what we're supposed to be doing here is to advocate for the community as a whole. And so it's our, part of our job to try and uphold what it is the stakeholders are requesting. But at the same time, we also have an understanding as to the inner workings of these various processes. And so what I believe we should do is work toward upholding what stakeholders have already said they wanted, but at the same time, work towards having more intimate conversations with the powers that be, whether it's the departments, to understand better if there are, you know, any shades of gray in between yes and no. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I totally definitely do. We just basically, so yeah, there's an added aspect of this where if we accept the stakeholders' proposal, then we're essentially ready to move to call to artists. So it's kind of like we do need to sort of solidify the language as far as if we're trying to operate within these restrictions, which granted, just to review this, the stakeholders got together, they dreamt, you know, got the community, everything else together, dreamt up a sort of like, well, this is what we'd like, found out about a bunch of restrictions, still came up with, in response to those restrictions, here's a proposal for how we could kind of move around and still get most of what we want. And it's up to this committee now to move that forward and then go on to call to artists for a request for designs and those kinds of things or not. And that's where we are now. If we try to do, like I think Tracy, you were describing, like, well, let's still try to get, see if we can get maybe some trees. It's like, well, the call to artists would go out saying, you know, trees are not allowed.
No, not necessarily. Let's still see if we can do what they are to say we can't do. Okay. What I'm saying is that, yes, you can go ahead and move forward with the process while creating a call to artists, but all the while continuing to work towards having those conversations with those entities that have said a straight up no. Mm-hmm. And maybe then that stuff can be integrated along the way. I mean, it's better to have, you know, created a plan where you're taking into consideration that you can't have something. If you're working with $20 and then you find out later that you actually have 40, who's going to complain about it? So if you create something that doesn't involve trees, but then you find out, oh, well, you can have two, I don't think anybody's going to totally complain about that. You either choose to use the trees or you don't. Right. So, this has been going on for a while. You know, Kimberly said that it's behind schedule, like, I don't know, 5 years, like years. So, I mean, you know, I feel like we should try and move forward in some way, because if people are just, you know, pounding their fist on the table and saying no, those types of conversations are going to take a little bit longer. I mean, it requires, you know, a little bit more nuance than, you know, just a phone call. So.
Corey and Carrie.
I apologize.
We have three comments: Anne, Carrie, Ilva Rouse, and Mary Harvey.
I'll make it short. Tracy, I believe that I agree with you. We've heard from the stakeholders. They gave
is that unusual.
I want that in the record.
Okay.
Yeah, they gave us a proposal. Let's move forward. But certainly, we can continue discussions, advocacy, etc. If not for this project, then other things in the future. So I say we take it to vote and approve it, and let's get on with this work. Thank you.
Who else had a comment? This is Mary Harvey. Can I
go? Yeah, go ahead, Mary.
I'd like to make a motion that this committee approve the stakeholders' report and move ahead to a call for artists on the courthouse proposal. Okay. However, I need to word that to make it work. Glenn, Ashley, somebody help me word it so that it works.
Yeah.
So, that was actually fairly clean. That was pretty straightforward, I thought.
Okay.
I second. This is Kimberly Kim.
Okay, cool.
It sure was. Before we do that, even though I don't have a vote yet, like Anne, I'd like to comment that we put a stop at our last meeting to the stakeholders' proposal, which cost, I might add, a lot of concern and consternation from the stakeholders. So, and the reason we did that is because we had concerns with all the limitations that suddenly had come up in the process. So my proposal, and I'm sorry, Mary, but my proposal is that since we have already done that and caused the consternation and the public outcry about it, that we follow through with it. And I believe that the committee's intent in putting a stop to it in our last meeting was so that we could make sure that this whole process is not for naught, that we are actually making sure that it fulfills what I think we all want for Jacksonville, which is to strive for a beautiful plaza that that looks forward in terms of community engagement, in terms of environmental concerns, in terms of all those things that we are supposed to be guarding for. So that since we have already done it, since we have already put a stop to what was essentially already approved, then let's take advantage of it. Let's not capitulate and suddenly say, we have thought about it. We will go forward with it. No, let's take advantage of it and see if we can take it to higher instances and appeal to the powers and say, the vision for Jacksonville future is environmentally concerned, is to engage people downtown so that we can get together under some kind of shade in our plazas and have public movement as other cities supposedly have been able to in conjunction with their sheriff's departments without this total, and there I'll stop.
If I may, just real quickly, Mary. For one, I will just say for myself, thinking about this project and the budget and reviewing over and over again the stakeholders' proposal, this is like the first step of what would be four steps. And I mean, you know, just in terms of how much of a budget is necessary to cover this, you know, this space. When we think about shade or any other, it's like almost like we're trying to pitch, you know, I mean, we're trying to get some action going to say, hey, look what you could do with more funds, or look what you could do if there was shade. And so we have to start getting designs, really, design proposals, in order to, I think, enhance our pitch. And so that's kind of like why I changed my personal opinion about that. I was sort of looking at it more like, let's get going so that we can sort of add things to it rather than say, we can't even start until you give us four times as much money, or we can't, even, you know, we don't want to even start until all these no's turned into yeses. Because I think specifically about the security concerns, it's like, I guess I just don't have a lot of hope that those things are going to go away or they're going to change. If anything, I think the people will be more infirmed in their, entrenched in their stance, if you will. So that's where I just wanted to say that's where I'm coming from with that. But Mary, go ahead with what you wanted to say too.
Well, I think exactly, Corey, this isn't the end of the road. This is the beginning of the road. This is the first step in what I hope will be a number of steps. We need to start somewhere. If you'd been at all the meetings that Kimberly, Kim, and I've been to over a couple of years, we need to start somewhere, and I think we need to stop thinking of trees as the only possible art form that can provide shade. I understand environmental concerns. I love trees as much as everybody. I'd love to have trees all over, everywhere downtown. I've sat across the table from the judges who hear the domestic violence cases, and they looked me square in the eye and said, nothing anybody can hide behind out in front of the courthouse, because people will come downtown with guns and hide behind trees and shoot people. That's all they said. And there's no arguing that point right now. And I would rather see some kind of artwork there than not right now. And I agree with Corey, we need to make a step or two in order to prove ourselves to make more steps later on. I just feel pretty passionate right now that we need to get started.
Okay, thank you, Mary.
And this is a way to get started.
Thank you, Mary. Tracy, you have your hand up?
Yeah, so just to be clear, I haven't changed my feelings from the last meeting, where I do believe that seating needs to be included. I do believe that there need to be trees. I do believe that we need to be more progressive. I feel like Jacksonville to date has been a smidge closed-minded about certain things. But all that being said, I feel like we should move forward, but with the caveat that there's a focused plan to continue to advocate for those things that we want to advocate for as far as stakeholders are concerned, so that that valuable time and energy and effort doesn't go to waste. I appreciate what Ilva is saying, but once again, we have to find a way to progress as well as continuing to have, we have to have a plan to talk to government officials in a way where they fully understand, first of all, the purpose of art, and also understand what it could bring as far as the identity of Jacksonville, as far as the enhancing of a space, so that there isn't this immediate pushback. Because sometimes what I feel like is that there's just people who don't want art, period. They think that deviants do art. They think that artists are deviants, you know, and they think that, well, it's going to be something weird or anti-religious or anti-something. Yeah. And so a lot of the time what happens is people put up roadblocks and they'll say, well, you can't do this because of security, because this might happen, or, well, you can't do this because of this reason or this reason. And so a lot of the time these things are used as roadblocks to discourage, so that people will throw their hands up and walk away. So I think that there has to be a focused effort to continue to advocate for the things that we believe definitely should be a part of this project, or else Jacksonville is going to come out on the other end of this just looking resistant to change and progress.
Yeah. My hope, Tracy, and I hope that I think that we're all really kind of pretty united on this, is that we get these designs back and that they really sort of help us move, you know, say, hey, well, here's what we can do for $500,000.
Yeah.
And here's what we could do if we, you know, because we'll have three different sort of vision plans from these, from the artists to sort of, you know, hopefully carry these conversations on and maybe make some more progress. So, and, you know, it's like, I've changed my tune a lot on this since last month, because I was just like, felt very defeated. And then I was like, no, we're going to keep, you know, let's keep battling. This is the first step. And so, yeah, I think that, I appreciate that, and I'm glad that we're mostly on the same. I think even really with Ilva, we have the same desire to see these things move forward. I don't know that we're going to have we don't have as good a pitch. We don't have as good a leg to stand on without moving forward with what the stakeholders have said. And to that point, Ilva, that you had said about, since we had already held up the process, totally get that on one level. On another level, having been on this committee for a couple of years and done things like this, it almost never is like, oh, it comes up as a, let's vote on it today. It's the first time you can vote on it and it gets passed. So I, while I feel for the stakeholders who were disenchanted by the fact that we didn't immediately rubber stamp their proposal, that you know, that's not the nature of what, how these committees work and the sort of democratic process. We said, well, we'll vote on that later. We didn't necessarily say no. We just said, we're still going to discuss it some more. And so here we are, about a month to think about it, cool down a little bit in terms of some of the frustrations with the restrictions, and hopefully move forward.
So with that said, we do have a motion on the table and it's been seconded. Do we have any other committee discussion before I open it up to public comment? I believe we have to, is that correct, Office of General Counsel, that we need to open it up to for public comment before we make a vote on that?
That is correct.
Okay. Ashley, do you need to do some read something prior to a public comment session?
She's already read public comment information, so just if anyone has raised their hand, I would recognize them. Otherwise, you could call for the vote.
Okay, great. I don't see any hands raised from the public comment on the Duval County Courthouse. Tracy, is that a fresh hand raised?
Corey, I don't think we have any hands raised. Do you want to do roll call for votes?
Oh, I apologize. I was muted again. It's Tracy.
Oh, sorry.
I apologize. It's me. once again, and I feel like Ilva and Ann and anybody else who's pending contribute so much to conversation. But from what I understand, normally people who are pending would be relegated to public comment. I'm not sure if that's correct. I know when I was pending, I was relegated to public comment. And I know that,
right.
Yeah, and I know that that would also change our meeting time as well, you know, as to how much time we're giving people to talk just for the sake of time sometimes, because I know I talk a lot, I freely admit that. But I think just for the sake of time, sometimes we have to remember that normally people who are pending are relegated to public comment. And I hate to say it, but we are trying to pack so much into these meetings these days, and it feels like there's never enough time.
Yeah, no, thank you, Tracy. I think you're correct, and I appreciate that notice. So let's go ahead and do a roll call vote of the motion on the table. So first up, we have Miko Fuentes. Vote yay or nay?
I vote yay. Thank you.
Mary Harvey.
Sorry, I was muted. Yay.
Kimberly Kim.
Yay. Let's move forward. Thank you.
Suzanne Pickett. Suzanne?
She might be muted.
Yeah. Tracy Thornton?
Yay, with a plan going forward for advocacy.
All right. Suzanne, last call on the roll call. All right, I, Corey Driscoll, vote yay on the motion. As far as this, because this is similar to the attendance versus voting, David, what do we say as far as Suzanne's vote in a public or in this meeting where she's in attendance, but maybe not at the moment?
Right, I don't think she's indicated, there's been no indication that she's wanting to abstain or not vote. I think she's simply not present at the meeting at this instant, so not present is how I would note it for the minutes.
Okay. All right, so that motion passes unanimously with the voting members of the committee that are present currently.
Corey, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
This is Glenn. we have to prepare both for this and for Murray Hill and other projects, something I haven't asked in the past. I would like to be directed by you or by the committee. Can I work with the chair of the committee, in this case, Kimberly Kim, to recommend who would be on the artist selection panel? Would that be the way in which I would bring people to the committee for inclusion on the panel? Am I being clear? I don't know how to, in the past, and the last one that we did, I think the staff just kind of did it. And I'd prefer to, you know, have some other process than just that. So
yeah. So thank you for bringing that up. In my time on the committee, I think it's actually gone two ways. One way was that the cultural council said, "Hey, here's who's on the selection panel." And then one other way was like that the committee as a whole voted on that, and sort of it was like a little bit too much. So I think that this is a pretty nice compromise where the Cultural Council staff would work with the chair of the art selection panel for this, or I'm sorry, in this, well, in this case, Kimberly Kim was the chair of the, as far as the chair of the panel already, but involved the stakeholders committee. This is now the panel. And so Kimberly would be involved as the chairperson and as representative of our committee with that, in that discussion with you to select the art selection panel. I'm in support of that. Do we have any other inputs from the committee about that?
As a member of the committee, I'm okay with that, but because this is new to me, I will need some assistance in terms of what I'm supposed to do.
Fair. Yeah, I mean, really, so this part of it is about, there's a roster or database of sorts that the Cultural Council staff has of people who are interested or stakeholders who are interested in this particular type of project or being on a panel. And you guys would kind of go through that list and try to get, some folks representative of the various ordinance required things, whether it's art professional or, stakeholder in business nearby, the location or that kind of thing. You take all those things into account and form the, at least form who you wanted to invite to be a part of the panel together. And that would just be you and Glenn rather than bringing the whole committee into it, because that can kind of bog it down. That's to me what I think. I think the committee should be involved. I like that idea. And you as chair or as of the panel, I think is the ideal way to do that.
Okay, sounds good. At least the start of it sounds good. Thank you for the information.
So Corey, just one amendment to that. Kimberly basically working with the staff would be recommending a group for the APP to appoint.
The committee still has to come to the committee and say you guys approve this panel.
Right, exactly. Right. You still have to appoint the panel officially.
Okay,
good.
And then Tracy?
I was just going to chime in and say that was the way it was. As far as I was concerned, when we were pulling together the panels for the project that I chair, I looked for people, and Mason, who was the project coordinator at the time, she also assisted with contacting people. When I was looking for teachers from, community spaces, sometimes it was hard for me to get through, and she would try, and we would take turns in that way. So, yeah, I don't see where all of us necessarily need to be involved with looking for a selection panel.
Okay. All right. Is there anything you needed us to vote on in that regard, Blaine?
No, I don't think so.
All right. So I believe we could go back to the art project list, and we're at, are we at conservation and maintenance now, or do you want to talk about Murray Hill Library?
Ashley and Hilda, if you don't mind, because of the time, I'm going to try to kind of go through quickly and just hit the highlights Ashley is doing an excellent job in managing the work is being restored out there. Obviously, we are removing the restoration of the Hemming sculpture since it is no longer there in Hemming Plaza. And we are asking, just so you're aware of this, we are asking the consultants now about what to do about Andrew Jackson. I don't want to have that discussion right now, but we are under the assumption that if the Republican convention comes here and if protesters come here, that there will be some attempt to vandalize Andrew Jackson, if it's assuming that it's still in place. And so we are talking through with them now about what's the best way to deal with the sculpture if it was vandalized. It was vandalized last week significantly, or 10 days ago. So that will be a continuing issue, which we'll work through in the next couple of, in the next month or so. The mayor's office does not want to include Andrew Jackson in the discussion of Confederate monuments. Keep going down, Ashley. Keep going. So where are we here? Empower Jacks, Northeast Florida, the mural artists. Okay, the parking garage. Hilda, you want to give an update on the parking garage?
For sure. We're excited. I don't know if anybody has driven by the parking garage that has the corner already painted black. If you have, in the last 2 days, you would have noticed some of the water lines that are made in stainless steel have appeared on the facade. It's starting to install the sculpture, and it's pretty exciting. So anyway, I have pictures that I don't know that we have time to see, but maybe Ashley can show them pretty quickly. Basically, the painting has been done and the installation of the metal pieces have started, and soon we would be the artist will be scheduling the mural artist to come and paint the part of the mural that goes into the sculpture, and we're moving along with that. Let's see. Everything, oh, there we go. That picture there was from yesterday morning when they started doing the installing the water line. So that's the metal part that's between the concrete walls. And then on the walls will be the painted tendrils or lines. This is from inside the garage. You can see now most of them are on that. That's the fourth floor. It's almost done. And then the next one just shows it from the outside, how they look.
And just to remind everyone, these are not going to look like that in the end. They're actually painted into the mural. So it just looks like the lines that are on the concrete also go across the empty spaces. They will not be silver in color at the end.
And that actually has a protective paper on them. So that's going to be pulled off, and then you'll see the stainless steel. And the lines will continue on the concrete, like Glenn was saying. Yeah.
Thank you, Hilda.
Great.
So just for the committee, it looks like because of the Republican convention, I've asked people not to bring their sculpture to Jacksonville during the last 2 weeks of August. Actually, Matt was ready to bring his, and I recommended that we not do that until the Republican convention is over. So it looks like September and early October, we'll be doing 3 installations, both at Legends and Water Street Garage and
Cuba.
And Cuba Hunter. Plus, the JTA is now figuring out some kind of way to do a dedication of both the artwork that's on the inside of the building and the public artwork that we did on the exterior of the building, probably also in September. So get your social schedules ready for that time period. And then what's next? Keep going down. Transportation, sculpture initiative. I forgot to mention another thing, the Downtown Sculpture Initiative. Cecilia Louise's sculpture will be installed at the end of July. That's in front of the ViStar parking garage on Hogan Street. And the other sculpture is moving ahead, the one you guys don't love all that much, which is on Laura Street. Next. Is Murray Hill here in this section? I can't remember, sorry.
Real quick question about the Laura Street one. So they're putting it off center.
Putting it off center, what do you mean?
In the original design, the building comes to a corner and the piece was in the corner with the wings going out on the sides, all rather very symmetrical and serving the historical interest of that building. And then there was a lighting fixture or a traffic box that was in the way and was going to cost $60,000 to move. And so the sculpture went in a different place. Are we still talking about the same sculpture or no?
We're still talking about the same sculpture. The sculpture is about 40 feet from the corner on Laura Street. It is not at the intersection.
Okay.
Glenn, we don't have Murray Hill on here, I don't see.
So Hilda, I might want to go through just quickly on Murray Hill.
Hilda, you're muted.
All right. On the Mary Hill, it's about the mural on the library. We have been, Glenn has been meeting with the library board of trustees and the library friends, the friends of the library group, and they are having a meeting next month. Next week. We're waiting on their approval from the board of trustees to continue with the call to artists and the proposal for the mural. There is the trying to be mural itself. One of the propositions was to honor Bill Brinton, the library has been named after him in honor of his work. And one of the ideas was to one of the library friends of the library and proposed that the mural would be representative of his work and his legacy. So Glenn has been speaking also with the wife of Mr. Brinton and to get her involved in the project. And so now we're just waiting for the library to have their meeting, their board of trustees meeting to approve the process. And then we will move from there to get the call of art to artists and to get APP group to help us with the art selection panel as well.
The library board, it was an interesting discussion with the library board. You know, they haven't, although a majority of our artwork is actually in libraries or in front of libraries, this particular board has been a long time, and so they didn't feel comfortable moving ahead at the last board meeting until they had again a chance to think about it. And they were also concerned that Mrs. Brinton was also involved in the process, which we had not been able to confirm yet. And now we have confirmed it. Mm-hmm. And she's delighted to be part of the process for the project. Any questions? I think, chair, you know, I've gotten so used to saying Madam Chair, I can't remember what it is to say when a guy's the chair. What do you say?
I don't know. We can leave the gender out of it though. I'll just be chair.
So I think we're finished with going through it. The only other thing that I would mention is Ashley will make sure that I do mention this. Is that we did put a call out for new committee members who live in downtown and who live in the southeast. We have had applications for that. We're encouraging you to ask your friends if you would like, or people you know, or people you respect, even if you don't know them, who might live in those areas. Remember, it has to live there, not work there. So working in downtown does not qualify, or having a job at town center doesn't qualify. You need to live in the southeast or in downtown Brooklyn, east side, Springfield area.
Glenn, both Kimberly and Tracy have comments.
Mm-hmm. Hi, this is Kimberly Kim. Just a comment on the Planning District 6. My term is actually coming due the end of this year. I did not plan on leaving the committee simply because I have just started being chair of the Courthouse Plaza and I'm excited about that. But I wanted to know, do I have to do anything to David? This is for you. Do I have to do anything to state that I wanted to stay on or remain on the committee? Or is there some sort of a process I need to go through to remain on the committee?
Unfortunately, I don't know the answer to that. That seems like a question that someone with institutional knowledge, even without a legal background, might know. So I'm wondering if anyone else of staff
has. Yeah, Kimberly, I will work with you and the mayor's office to submit a renewal for your appointment. Okay. And then they'll file new legislation for a second term.
Okay, thank you so much.
I'll reach back out to you and we'll get that started.
Appreciate
it. Ashley, in line with that, if you would share with maybe each member of the committee, especially current members, what their terms are and those kinds of things. I'm not certain. I'm not certain when mine's up, to be honest.
Right, mine is up in December, and I'm like,
Absolutely. I can send that information out to the committee. I also saw that Tracy still has a comment and Ilva had a comment.
thank you. It's related to this. So as you know, not the rest of everyone, I think, but we're being confirmed by City Council right now. And I noticed that the term is only through December. So my question was, before I reach out to City Council, does that mean that we have to go through this month-long process in January again?
Ilva, to answer your question, so your appointment is fulfilling an empty vacant, the remaining term of a vacant seat. You do not have to go back through City Council, or you do have to have City Council approval, but you don't have to go back through the long, tedious interviews with each council member, as long as your attendance is above the required 75%. And since you have not officially started your term, I don't think you'll have a problem. But I will also work with you and the mayor's office to make sure that your term doesn't expire while we're in the middle of everything.
All right. Thank you.
Hey, this is Tracy Thornton. So a couple of things. I remember when, my question, just the umbrella of it, is about the protocols and procedures that we follow when new members are coming to the committee. So for example, Ilva, I remember her resume and all of her qualifications and her application coming through the committee and us voting on her becoming a member or being a candidate to be a member, but everybody else that is up or in the process of being approved, I don't recall anybody else's resume. I looked back through old agendas because in the past, the way we've done it is people would come up for approval during a meeting and all of their resume, their application would be submitted. And so I don't recall anybody else other than Ilva actually going through that process. So I'm trying to figure out what's happening as far as what the normal protocols are. And I'm happy that the call for applications has gone out, but I'm trying to find out what's been happening and why hasn't committee been involved.
Tracy, if I can answer your question, both Ann Carey and Karen Fagans, I'm sorry, Karen, are Cultural Council board members, and the Cultural Council board basically sends us members. So the committee, the Art and Public Places Committee, does not necessarily have to review their applications.
Well, I knew about Anne, though. Yeah, so I should have used her as an exclusion, but yeah, I didn't know about Anne. I didn't know about Karen. Okay.
And Karen is the other board seat. And Glenn or David, if you have anything to add to that I missed or misspoke about, please go ahead.
No, that's accurate. The only thing, Tracy, one of the things we should have in our policies and procedures is how we get to new members and recommending members to the mayor. I mean, the mayor doesn't have to listen to us at all. The mayor can do whatever he or she wishes. At this point, we will gather all the resumes. Typically you would have like a committee that interviewed people. I think we're probably not going to need to do that. That we should, once we get all the resumes, we will look over them. The committee will look over them and see if they can move forward or whether they need to take any other steps.
Okay. Thank you.
In line with that too, and I think that this document went out to everybody, but it was about, it's titled Recommended Annual Schedule of Activities. And it was about essentially what the staff has been doing in regards to the five-year plan. And does everybody have that document? Is that in their packet?
I'll go ahead and pull it up on the screen.
Okay, yeah, if you wouldn't mind doing that, because there's some things coming up that are, you know, more in line with the with committee action here. So just so that everybody's aware of it, because I know last year when we were talking about positions on the committee, that it was like, oh, what, how do I nominate or you know, maybe I wanted to run for that or whatever. So this is kind of outlining when those kinds of things will come up. So we will vote for, you know, chair, vice chair, and secretary and those things to elect them for 2021. We're going to do that vote ideally in December. And so we'll be, you know, taking nominations, whether you want to self-nominate or nominate somebody else on the committee for those positions, that will be in November. I just wanted to make sure to say that because I don't know that it's been, you know, formally announced in the past, or at least not as early as we have that information now. So I think it's good to just point that out. Is there anything else on this worksheet that you guys wanted to go over staff-wise?
I think that's a good thing to point out. I just wanted to the committee members to like look at it and realize it's actually, especially for the five-year plan, there's a long time frame in terms of review and amendments that have to go through for the mayor's office and to the city council. So hopefully we can follow this for next year. That really we need to be, if you look at the top, now you're looking at April, that's like 2 years out. And if you go down further, Ashley, you'll see April again, okay, and June. And so actually we should already be doing the draft annual plan now for next year. Things have been delayed because of course the mayor has not produced a budget yet that, or even a suggestion of a budget, which would show whether there's gonna be any new money for art and public places. So that's a difficulty that the staff of the city has not really moved as efficiently because of COVID-19 that it might have. But still our goal is to get to an annual plan by September or by August. I don't know if we're gonna get there. The idea is on October 1st, along with the city budget, that we have an annual plan that we've adopted and move forward on. We need to start the five-year plan also like now in order to move it forward such that it can be approved from a year from now with the city council. And then the other thing that I asked Dave, and I don't think he was able to get a chance to find out the answer yet unless he speaks up, is on the policies and procedures, what other agencies in the city have policies and procedures that may affect not only the committee itself, but other agencies in the city? How that would be approved if such a thing existed, as opposed to just the operations of the Art and Public Places Committee. Because even this outline, you know, suggests that people have to take action. Like the mayor has to review the five-year plan and complain if he or she doesn't like anything about it, that kind of thing, in terms of moving forward. So we'll get together still with Tracy and Ann. Sorry that didn't happen. To start working on the policies and procedures, but just wanted you to know that there is a, you know, to have a series of when we have to do things each year and find a way to do all those. And I think if we have more members, we will have more people to spread out and assist in a variety of things.
Okay. Looking at just the remainder of our agenda here, we have about 10 minutes left before the meeting is adjourned, but we had a few items on new business. Anything there, cultural council staff, that you'd like to review or wanted to make sure that we bring up for discussion before we close it out? I think we've talked about a number of these things. What is the staff recommendation for the Mandarin Parks project in collaboration with Councilmember Boylan?
We have two issues. If it depends on what the committee would like to hear about. I did talk about the draft plan. So the Mandarin plan and the crosswalks, if you have just, if people want to just stay for Hilda to do a quick briefing on where we are on the crosswalks. And these are two projects which will not be funded by Art in Public Places, although we may pay for design work or something like that. There may be some support that basically these are coming from city council members and their ways of finding money, whatever they are. Hilda, do you want to talk about the crosswalks?
Certainly. So we are in the process of meeting with council member Leanne Cumber, who brought the project to our attention. And we have produced a report on crosswalk art and all the different materials for the use. They're looking forward to having a meeting with people from the community and a representative from San Marco area, because the crosswalks are mostly in the San Marco area. And we actually have scheduled a meeting for next week to discuss all the options for the crosswalks. And they're mainly going to go as plans right now near the intersection of San Marco Boulevard with the traffic light, where half of the street to one side is called Naira and the other side is called the Children's Place in San Marco. So in that area, possibly there'll be several intersections where the crosswalk could be. And then the other possibility is farther south near the duck pond, maybe create a crosswalk there. But it's still in idea. In concept, and we're getting all the information ready for that. In regards to the Mandarin project, also we've met with council member Mr. Boylan, Michael Boylan, and his idea is to get together with possibly with the soccer league. I think it's called Florida Elite Soccer League, to collaborate with them and create some interactive sculptures for two of the Mandarin parks. We again have been working on a report and getting some information on how these could be and we sent to to council member Boylan, but because of the pandemic, he's asked to just put it on hold for a little while.
Great. Thank you, Hilda, for the update on this new business. In terms of next important dates, our next meeting is the important date. That's August 12th, so next month. But before we adjourn, I'd like to open it up one more time for public comment. If you are listening to the call or you have anything you'd like to just to comment on from this meeting, now is the time to do so. And you simply do so by raising your hand on the Zoom meeting, and you will be unmuted by Cultural Council staff and be able to voice your comment. Yes, we have
Amy Stump has a comment.
Hi. This is my first time. I'm a non-voting member, but I've enjoyed listening to your meeting. By coincidence, not only am I a professional artist, but my background was at Clay County Courthouse as a security officer. And it's a golden opportunity if they're asking for the safety of the courthouse personnel to be extra creative so that any artist with a really fresh idea will get approved much faster, because the courthouse personnel is straight up like priority. Art will come second or third. But if they're asking for, I can tell you as an employee, long time ago employee, that if they're requesting for safety or having minimal obscurities so that people can hide, I can tell you that they take that extremely seriously, and it would be a fresh idea that would get them to turn around so that they can approve your art project faster. Mm-hmm. I just want to let you guys know that. But otherwise, sounds like a fantastic opportunity.
Thank you very much, Amy.
Thank you.
I have Ilva Rouse has her hand raised.
I just wanted to say that since we've started preparing for now postponed opening at Mocha, I get to pass by the garage often these days. So I wanted to commend Hilda and Glenn and everybody for moving forward with that work. It's really exciting to see movement in the art in our city at these difficult times. So thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, thank you, Ilva. Yeah, I look forward to seeing that sculpture up and completed. The whole process of public art, and then then that's there, creation. There it is. All right, awesome. Well, so if there's no other comments from the public, I will go ahead and adjourn the meeting. Thank you, guys. Stay safe, and we'll see you next month.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks for inviting me.
Guys.
Stay safe, everyone.